Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
The rest of the show will be dedicated to estate planning. We just talked about Pablo Picasso's estate, the mess that that was. He had no will. And seemingly every couple of weeks, there's a story that pops up of someone rich and famous who passes away who doesn't have a will. Everyone kind of rolls their eyes and say, how could they not have that? Well, they themselves look in the mirror and realize they don't have it either. Millie Palmer joins us now from Navigant Law. Millie, perhaps these stories that we have, the latest one of Liam Payne, the One Direction singer, died tragically. Maybe they're not an opportunity to go, how do the rich and famous do this? Instead, why don't we look at ourselves and say, oh boy, we're just as exposed as they are in some cases.
You know, John, it's mystifying. People who do so well in so many parts of their lives don't think about maintaining their personal financial decisions and situation by simple things like a will, a trust, powers of attorney, and keeping those documents up to snuff to reflect the changes in their lives. It should be part of what we do on an annual or every three-year basis, just kind of looking at it.
Yeah. I am always, of course, there are always tragic situations because people that are rightful heirs often don't get what they maybe were intended to get, or it takes forever to get there. But Millie, perhaps the thing that should motivate people the most is your heirs ultimately will likely not get as much as they think they will, because when you don't have a plan, it goes through so many hoops, legal hoops, that skims off the top, whether it's creditors or legal fees. Not to insult your profession, Millie, but that's just the reality of the situation.
It is the reality. And, you know, the fact of the matter is probate can take 2.5 years. You know, the average probate in Cook County, I believe, is over 2 years. It was easier to gauge when we were all in person for all things. But, you know, now at this point, you have a 14-month date, which the judges require you come in and tell them what's happening at the end of 14 months. That implies most cases go well beyond the 14 months.
Yeah, right. If they want an update 14 months later, then, and that's them trying to speed it along, then it's a slow process.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I like getting paid for what I do. But am I really adding value when what I'm doing is going through a process that we could have avoided to begin with? So, you know, I would prefer to work the same amount of hours, but work for people putting together a plan that skips probate.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Just to define it, just to make sure we all are on the same page, probate is what you enter if you have a will, right? Trusts,
that's right.
I know we're generally speaking, but trusts avoid probate, wills go into probate.
Those are good generalities. Trust avoid probate for trust-based assets. So with a trust, you could still have a probate if you don't tie an asset to your trust. So you forget to title the house in trust name. You don't name the trust as a beneficiary on life insurance or a backup beneficiary to a person on an IRA or life insurance, right? So we wind up with a hole. Hey, who does this pay to? Ooh, it pays to my estate. Or this is an estate asset. And the only way we collect those is through probate with a will. If there's no will, it's even worse. We're in court, the same courtrooms, but we're in administration, which has some really unintended results to it.
And just to clarify what you were saying there, Millie, because some people will get confused. We had callers on it the last time you were in. Just because you have a trust and you did the paperwork, or you went to an online service and you did it, you have to, and you built the box of the trust, you have to put everything in the trust still, in the box, the property, all that sort of stuff. If you're working with a lawyer like Millie Palmer, she's walking you through that, and I know there's a lot of great estate planning lawyers. We have other ones on our programs, too, who do great work, too.
Absolutely.
And they'll walk you through it, but that's getting a little more complicated than perhaps we'll get to today. We are getting some calls. We're getting some text. Millie, from the 815, this texter has one child, and they have a will. So that's great. Off to a good start. They also want to know if they have a TODI, which is a transfer on death instrument, based on what I've been told many times, usually for a estate or for a house or a property. This person asks, then, do I need a trust? One kid, I've got a will, I'm going to get a TODI. What else do I need? Why do I need a trust?
So, you know, they may be all set. And if I use my crystal ball method of estate planning and I go into the future and when they die, their child survives them and their child has good mental state and understands what to do and how to do it and is capable and knows where things are at, they might be in good shape. But a trust also helps us during lifetime. So if the child needs to sell the house in order to pay for mom or dad's care, how are they going to do that while mom or dad is alive? Hmm. They're going to be relying on the power of attorney for property, which is not the world's greatest document to rely on, or going to get guardianship over mom or dad, assuming that their person has lax capacity. So we have a lifetime use for a trust as well.
It's never something I thought about. Yeah, I never thought about that, Millie. The idea that if your kids need to sell off some of your property to take care of you, you're no longer able to make those decisions for yourself. It's really hard to do unless it's in a trust. If it's in a trust with a game plan laid out, that is a lot easier to do. The trustee, I imagine it simply follows the rules of withdrawing or selling parts of property to pay for mom or dad's care versus if that isn't all buttoned up ahead of time. Millie, exactly. you can respond in more length to that if you'd like to, but I do want to hit traffic and weather on time and get your questions as well. 312-981-7200 if you've got one for Millie Palmer. I have a feeling Janice, our next caller, might be following up because she's got quite a conundrum, but it relates to what we were chatting with before the break. Millie, you ready for our first call?
I'm ready for it. Let's go.
All right, Janice, Millie's going to try and help you out with just some general thoughts about your situation. I know you're in a difficult spot with your mom and two brothers,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. I've got a good brother and a bad brother. The bad brother took my mom to court to get guardianship over. She doesn't trust him, doesn't want him around. He hasn't seen her in over, like, 3 years or something. He popped up at the hospital and took over, like, when she got transferred to the hospital, and they started listening to him, and he, like, made up stories, and all to make
right,
a long
right.
story short, we're in court right now, but I feel like her rights are being, like, ignored. They call it an ad lib lawyer or something? I don't know what it's
ad litem, probably.
It's a guardian ad litem.
Yes, she's got a 90-day...
Hold on 1 second. Go ahead, Janice. Finish up your thought there, and then we'll have Millie respond.
Yeah, she's got a 90-day temporary custody of my mother's finances. But my good brother, we had to get a lawyer and come to court because of the bad brother doing this. My mother wanted to come home. She wanted to be released from the rehab, come home and get help at home like she had prior to the second stroke.
Right.
We had... you know, nursing and elder care and stuff, and our family members were all coming, helping. She wanted to just go back home. Well, because the brother took us to court, now she's stuck in this rehab home, and she has a trust fund, and my one brother has a power of attorney.
Whoa.
But they have temporarily taken away all that stuff and won't, like, are just ignoring her rights.
Yeah, Janice, that sounds messy. I'm going to let Millie respond here for a little bit. And, Janice, I want you to follow up with Millie. I know you said you have a lawyer, and maybe they're doing great work, too, but at least Millie can chat you through it. So let's put Janice on hold. And, Millie, why don't you go ahead and respond to what seems like a real messy situation?
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry, because that's not how we envision it's going to go, right? We think our kids are going to work together in harmony and that they're going to all do what's in our best interest. You know, the fact of the matter is that sometimes people don't do what's in our best interest. They act in their own self-interest. The guardian ad litem that the court likely appointed, and that's what I believe you're talking about for the 90-day period, is charged with being the court's eyes and ears out in the world. And, you know, asking what's necessary for the care plan for your mom. The court is naturally going to go much slower and be much more unwilling to take a risk with your mom. Your mom is considered right now, temporarily at least, a ward of the state, and she's the court's responsibility. And so the judge is going to go slowly, whether or not your mom likes it, in order to figure out what's in her best interest and where she should be. That involves a doctor giving a care summary. It involves a review of the home and what it could sustain. Some judges will ultimately say, hey, there's a trust. There's a power of attorney for property. The trust is funded with her assets. The court's reach doesn't go to those in guardianship. It's only over her person and her personal assets, not her trust assets. So maybe the judge looks at all that and ultimately says, hey, I don't think I'm the one to make these decisions. We're going to just let her documents control, and the person named as her agent under power of attorney and trustee of her trust are going to be in charge. That is assuming mom lacks mental state. So she may be having trouble, but that doesn't mean that she's incapacitated. I mean, we all have bad days, you know, and as we age, those become more apparent.
It sounded like it was she had a second stroke, so maybe she isn't able to speak for herself at this time. And Janice, I'm sure, has a million more things to say. And Janice, I do want you to follow up with Millie, but it seems like the quote-unquote good brother, I mean, had a power of attorney. Does a quote-unquote bad brother really have the ability to come in and say, no, I want she needs to be in a guardianship? Like, or is this just what the court is just working out right now through this mess?
I imagine it's what the court is working through. Most powers of attorney have a statement that say, if a guardian must be appointed for me, I nominate the person I nominated as agent.
Huh.
So what you have is a contest between who should be named as the guardian. So issue one, does she need a guardian? Right? Because of incapacity or otherwise, do the documents suffice? Issue number two, if she needs a guardian, she's incapacitated and the documents don't suffice, does the guardian POA for property nominate the good brother as the guardian and evidence her wishes while she had capacity as to who should be in charge? Either way, the court's involvement is going to prevent anyone from taking her money and using it not for her benefit. So it's not a bad thing. It might be frustrating and it might be too slow and hard to deal with, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. I've seen guardianship fights, and nothing is uglier. That's not necessarily work we do at our office. I do know some very skilled guardianship attorneys that can jump in and help out if current counsel isn't working out for any reason.
I'm sure you wouldn't mind if she followed up with you and then you could refer
her.
No,
I don't mind at all. That would be fine. Yeah.
Let's make sure that Janice gets Millie's number here too. And Janice, thank you for sharing. Didn't mean to cut you off, but sometimes some of these issues are best covered on Let's Get Legal when we have a little bit more time than Your Money Matters. I think that situation just, and I bet a lot of people are nodding their heads. Maybe it wasn't as extreme as what Janice is going through, but nodding their heads as if it just didn't go the way we thought it was going to go. There weren't the documents there. There was a fight. It hurt the family. We didn't all come together kumbaya when mom and dad passed. And Millie, a lot of the work that you do is to help prevent that. We're almost out of time. 15-second elevator pitch. Millie, why should people call you?
Well, John, I'm honored to work for people and try and be useful and helpful. I'm the type of attorney that gets in there and asks what the real issues are and tries to prevent litigation and bad results. I hope people will reach out to me. Yeah. The initial consult's free.
Yeah, you're just a sweet, nice person, too, really, which is great. Out of Arlington Heights. So, yeah, I always love talking to you. You break things down so clearly for us. The number 847-253-8800. Millie, we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, John. Looks good. Enjoy that baby.
Thank you very much.